talking about your wives and all, I've got a good one for you.
Come on.
I guess the first year that Lynn and I got married, I think it was Christmas or her birthday. Her birthday is like December the 30th. So, I mean, she's her whole life, she's had not really had a birthday. But I had bought her some earrings. And I really liked them. They were little hearts, you know.
I like your little earrings.
Yeah. And anyway, she really liked her earrings and all. Well, I'd forgot I'd bought them for her. Well, the next Christmas or birthday, whatever, I saw those earrings, and boy, I really liked them.
Boy, I liked those little earrings.
I gave her the same earrings 2 years in a row.
Wow. Johnny.
That's on up there with the
Johnny
stocking stuffers I did 1 year. So somehow, you know, I always, you know, me and Beck, I always do a little stocking for each other, gum and mint, well, you know, whatever. So somehow her stocking ended up in the junk room with everything still in it. So, you know, Christmas time rolled around the following
put
year.
Put it back out there.
And I found the stocking, and I was like, man, that bad boy's still full.
So, she didn't appreciate that, did she?
She didn't realize it at the time.
So you got by with it?
Yeah.
Slid a bunch of expired stuff.
Well, toothpaste don't expire.
Yeah, well, you know, we get in church, you know, next week or so, and you know, she'd open the gum up this time, and she got a picture. She said,
"The gum does expire."
Where did you buy this?
Oh,
so, stale gum is horrible.
So, kind of had to fess up on that one.
But you held true all the way till there was recognition.
I did.
Well, you didn't have to say nothing. You just hung it back up, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. I mean, I thought, honestly, at the time, I was like, hey, this doesn't go bad. I'll just reuse it. Saving money.
Yeah. That $3 goes a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, it was.
Let's fall back here. What was Lynn's response there, Mr. Mills? At what point did you realize I've messed up?
She let it slide.
Well, what a good woman.
And then a little later on, she kind of eased it in, says, I've got two of these.
Oh, man.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden, Alabama podcast. We're Southern Storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Ford.
I'm Johnny.
Johnny's supposed to know how this is supposed to go.
I've been on here twice. It's got to be an OG.
Yeah. He walked in the shedio and he went. Y'all done got an upgrade since I've been in here. It's been a while.
I like to froze to death the last time I was here.
Oh, did we had the AC down there?
Huh? No, we didn't have wintertime, didn't have nothing.
We was in here in hunting gear.
Yeah, we was warmed up. We was all bundled up that time.
Yep. What I would do for some of that weather.
let's not bring it back too soon.
I don't know. I mentioned it the other day. I said, I'm not really?
Upset.
Yeah. Well, but let's say this: when you sweat and have to change clothes 3 times a day,
it's taxing.
Hey, for all you people that enjoy working in Satan's kitchen, have at it.
I can put enough clothes on to stay warm, but I get arrested if I take them off.
That's a good statement.
Well, that's a good statement.
Yeah.
We wanted to father and son duo. I don't know how many of those that we've done since we've been doing the show, so I'm excited about that. But
a couple.
I think this is a product of last week when we had the Smith brothers on here. They told a story about you.
Are you comparing us to the Smith brothers?
No comparison. They just brought you up, and it got me thinking about you lining up an entire classroom of kids. And
they were involved in that.
I asked
the
about
entire
it.
Classroom.
They whenever I was teaching, if I ever had to get a sub, which, you know, usually in hunting season and all, I'd have a sub or two come by. But I'd tell everybody, I says, whatever y'all do, do not, you know.
Don't cause no disruptions.
Don't make this sub have a hard time, you know. Well, came back in the next day and the sub told me, says, they got a go-kart out.
Oh.
And was... It didn't run, but they were pushing each other off the hill. They were running it. And anyway, I Let's see. Who all was involved? Chico and Barry Jenkins all that bunch. You know, they were all in there about the same time. It was a crew. I think there was, time I got through, I think there was 27 of them that I lined up.
Your shoulder's sore after that.
That's the time of my life.
Been 27 more.
It's been the highlight of the teaching career there. Yeah.
So he told us that story. That got us thinking about you again. But then that led us to a recent event that you had in your life, which was very significant. And we're going to share that as the testimony time. He had a, I'm not going to say anything about it. It's a good story. We're going to let him tell it. But besides that, so we got the storytelling. We got a write-in story. We got another bracket this week that is last job you would apply for. And we're going to see out of the top eight, which one would be least. No offense. I know somebody that watches this show is going to do one of these jobs. So no offense.
Oh, it has nothing to do with the people that do the job.
Absolutely not.
This actually gives you, I got a lot of respect for
my hats off to you.
There you go.
And some of them are good paying jobs. They need to be.
And then lastly, we'll round it out with scripture time. We're going to be finishing out Philemon tonight, Lord willing, and we're going to be talking about the importance of Christians helping other Christians restore relationships. Without further ado, Ford, you are up, my brother.
Well, I guess the first thing I thought of when I was asked, you know, life-changing experiences, I guess, that make you think. I had a work-related accident 2 years ago in October. And long story short, for the ones of you that know electricity, I got two phases together on a 277-480 system. And it...
That sounds a little sparky.
Let's just say it's like I never had a flashbang go off in my face, but that's...
There it was.
It was there, and it was real fast. And that can go anywhere from 35,000 degrees, roughly, give or take, somewhere in that ballpark, up to, you know, I think 2,000 pounds of force explosion, you know. So, long story short, I was very blessed, and I know it sounds odd, but when it happened, I was, you know, thrown back, sitting on top of a giant transformer. Couldn't see anything. You know, I was like
blinded by the light.
Yeah, black blue. You know, all I could see is blue. And somehow, you know, the fat ninja moves came out, and I managed to roll myself off the top of this transformer that's probably 6-7 feet high, land on my feet like a cat. But was able to tell everybody, hey, I'm okay. You know,
I'm all right.
I'm a little warm, but I'm, you know, because I try to be humorous about things when I can. And so, you know, I could feel my chest was burnt, you know, had holes all in my shirt. My face was hot feeling. When my buddy saw me, he was like, you know, he said, the first thing I thought of was Roadrunner and Coyote. He said it was just like black soot in my hair. Was blown backwards, beard was singed, and just face was just black. Well, we didn't really know per se how bad it was and what have you. And then, you know, in my brilliant self, we went out to the trucks, you know, called the foreman, and I commenced to washing myself off in cooler water.
Why not?
I mean, I you know, I chalk it up to that's why I healed so good. So ended up going to the emergency room. Well, before that, you know, I called Becca, you know, before somebody else did. And I was like, hey, had a minor accident. Just going, they're going to carry me to the emergency room. You know, and my words were going to put some salve on it and send me home.
Sure.
You know, that's all we ever knew. A little burn cream, rock on. So I roll into UAB emergency room. And for those of you that have never been in there, I mean, I could only imagine what a military hospital would look like. I mean, there's people laid everywhere. Just, I mean, it's
drawn out,
rough.
It's a war zone,
you know. So I get in there and I'm telling them what happened. You know, when they're like, "We've got to get you back to trauma quick," and I'm like, "I didn't get electrocuted." You know, it just bright flash. You know, so they roll back in there and here, you know, 10, 15 people are coming, you know, work on me. And I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. You know, I'm not that burnt. Or I didn't think so. So then the doctors roll in and they're like, yeah, it's not great, but it's, you know, it could have been a lot worse. So I had first and second degree burns all up my face, my arms, my chest. You know, as I'm sitting there, if you've never had fentanyl, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not encouraging drug use by any means.
Yeah, we're not.
But, you know, in doctor stuff, yeah. I mean, they hit me with that stuff and I was like, wow,
let's go to work.
I am. I said,
yes. I mean, they were like, can you feel that? I'm like, no, I mean, let's, you know, do what you got to do. So get through all that. Becca makes it down there. We get home and doctors have told me you got to shave your beard. And I'm like, no, not doing it. Don't want to do it. They're like, can't risk infection. Got to get rid of the beard. I'm like, well, I mean, that was my shield.
You know, yeah, that's what saved me.
Yeah, I mean, from the beard down, nothing really got burned. So Becca goes to drop the kids off. And I'm like, all right, I can do this. So shave everything, you know, my face. And then I'm like, by this time, the bandages on my chest have fallen down. I'm like, dang, now I got to get a shower, you know. So get a shower, you know, they showed me how to tend to my burns and everything. So I'm wrapping everything up and thought I was doing good. Got all the places on my chest covered up. Well, I got tape all over me and everything else. So next morning, get up, you know, of course, bandages got to be changed and all that. Mind you, I had to sleep on puppy pads all night. That was just lovely.
Crinkly.
Yeah. You know, and then you're replaying what went on in your head all night. So it wasn't a real great night anyway. So the next morning, get up and Becca's going to help me change my bandages. And this is where it humorous yet hurts. Let's just say the nipple was burnt and I didn't realize it and it had tape on it.
Oh, purple. Nurple.
It was. So she was like, Ford, this is not. I was like, just rip it.
Oh!
Just rip it. So, you know, she's sitting there trying not to laugh at the same time, but you know, so there, you know, I grit up and man up, as they say, the best I can. And
bite the bullet.
The tears welled up big, I didn't let it out. I was going to be tough. Okay. I was going to be tough. You know, I may have went and cried to myself later on behind the scenes, but wasn't going to show it.
What did it look like on the tape?
Was it imprinted?
There was skin.
He couldn't say for the tears in his eyes. Yes.
there was skin.
Yeah,
no doubt. So you know, I
did it grow back?
Oh,
we don't want to see it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay, there's good. Nothing. I mean, I was
can't even tell.
I was honestly very blessed. I have very minute little place that I know, you know, kind of where the burn was.
But the great thing is, my wife blamed when we had our little ones, she always looked at me and she's just staring at me. She's like, I'm like, why are you getting so angry? She's like, you and your worthless nipples.
that's one way to look at it, for sure. I mean, but
very same. Very
you can't help
it. This is how the Lord made me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What was it Drake said when he come in and saw you didn't have
Yeah. So, you know, Drake, my little one, came in the next day. You know, Becca had told him, you know, I had an accident, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, you'd have to know his personality. It's cut and dry, black and white. He looked at me funny. Daddy, why did you shave your beard? So I told him, I said, you know, buddy, I got burned at work. You know, I had to shave. Mm-hmm. Well, I bet next time you won't do that. Thanks, bud.
If it's for nothing else, I don't want to have to shave my beard again.
Yes, yes.
Tighten up, Dan.
So,
wow.
But in all, little humor here is I would not recommend doing that. You know, to get a few weeks off of work, it's not real fun. Pretty painful.
Not going to do it again anytime soon.
Do not plan on it. Not at all.
And I want to say this because I don't know that people would pick up that don't know you, I mean, this is Alabama power.
Yeah, it's
it's high voltage.
Yeah,
not I got in the box at the house.
No. This was feeding UAB one of their new buildings.
Well, at least you're close by.
So yeah, so we were about three blocks.
Walk on down there.
So, but to give you an idea how much, or I guess, loud it was, you know, we couldn't tell it because we couldn't hear anything at the time. But guys that were working inside the building, they came out and they said, you know, was everybody okay? Yeah, we're fine. You know, I'm a little crispy, I think were my exact words. They was like, you shook the whole building. He was like, wow. You know, that's, I guess that's impressive. I guess I'm not sure what you want to call that, but. You know, and it was one of those things. It was a complete accident.
I don't do electricity.
We, you know, we're trained very well to, in everything we do, be as safe as possible.
Yeah.
And this is something we've done hundreds of times, and it just, that particular day, it went south,
man.
You know,
happens quick.
Kapow.
You know, I say all this to, you know, It changed my life and my outlook on, you know, safety. Still, even though they drill it in our heads all the time, mm-hmm. you can never be,
too safe
doing things.
Oh, TK and Mike said, if you ain't safe, you're out.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Let me spawn your memory just a minute. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Do I remember correctly that Caveman broke his leg one time?
Bulldogging school.
Were you there?
Yes. I was.
Okay, I want to hear that story. Can you tell me that story?
Well.
Now, Caveman, let's set this up. Local guy.
Big old boy.
Big guy.
And crazy up, strong. I mean,
yeah, just so anyway, go ahead.
Well, he was just out of junior college. He had played JUCO ball and went and won him a national title playing JUCO over in Mississippi. And anyway, he had retired from football. I said, well, Caveman, you need to steer wrestle a little bit.
Yeah.
Well.
Great transition.
Ford was sixth or seventh grade. And they were having a bulldogging school down in Foley, Alabama. And
come on down, learn how to bulldog. What
was Duhon's first name?
Steve.
Steve Duhon, who was a world champion, I think three-time world champion. He was the instructor down there. And anyway, we were the first, I guess it was the first day, or was it the second day?
Second day, I believe. Okay. We spent the first day doing, mostly on the steer saver.
On the steer saver and doing groundwork and actually, you know, coming out of the chute and steer wrestling these steers and that kind of thing. And these guys out of Texas had done spied Caveman. They were fixing to put him back in the truck and take him back to Texas with them.
We got him. He's got what it takes.
Because he had what it took. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really did.
Size.
Strength. You got it, you know. And
mental capabilities.
That's not saying that a little guy, yeah. That's not saying that a little man can't steer wrestle, because there's some of them that use the right techniques that can, but a big man that uses the right techniques
can really do it.
And anyway, rocked on there, and Ford was the littlest in there at the time, and Mr. Duhon, he took him under his wing, and that was his partner. Well, the first steer out, they say don't turn one loose.
You had to run a lap all the way around the arena.
Well, back then, Ford was a little fat boy, and he did not like running laps.
No. And at least at this point in time, it was right after football season, so I was in somewhat decent shape.
Had a little preparation.
Yeah.
Anyway, the first steer out, Duhon was going to show everybody how to do it. Well, Ford was his tail man, and, you know, he held on, and Duhon went to go for that steer's nose and missed it.
Boom. Oh, no.
Ford just kept right on.
Never
let us. I'm running for you, Mr. Duhon.
Ran my lap with a world champion.
Yep.
Oh, man.
So.
But anyway, we rocked on there, and some of the bigger guys, older guys, they were starting to get down off horses, you know, get on the steers. They had done gone through all their groundwork and all. And Caveman was really doing good, and he was really close to getting everything right. And anyway, make a long story short, he swapped horses, and he was getting tired, and I knew he was getting tired because they'd been at it all day long. I mean, just, you know, and it takes a lot out of you doing this kind of stuff.
For hours.
Well, he got on this different horse, different than the one he had been using. Well, nodded his head and everything. They came in too close. Well, as Hazer was Bo Campbell. I don't know, Bo's rodeoed forever, and he's the one that was actually putting the school on. Mm-hmm. And he's well known in the Southeast in the rodeo industry. Well, Bo went to holler and get up, get up, get up. Well, everything had come too tight, and Caveman could not get back up. You know, he couldn't pull up, and he went down. Well, that ankle turned backwards, and it was a sandy arena, and he came down, and it just took that ankle bone and popped it out. Well, we loaded him up in the back of a little pickup. The hospital was just right across the road there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it made it handy. And we loaded him up in the back of a little old, I guess it was a
Nissan or Toyota or something.
I mean, we just picked him up and threw him in the back of the truck, and I took off with him to the emergency room over there. And I says, "Okay, man, maybe it ain't broke." And he said, "Oh, it's broke.
It's backwards."
Yeah, it was that.
I knew it
exactly
was, but
it was.
I was trying to, you know,
calm him down
trying
a little
to keep
bit.
Him. Well, they got in there, and it, like I say, it just dislocated that ankle joint. They couldn't even set it, do anything. All they could do is because they knew they were going to have surgery and all. But anyway, they gave him some kind of pills, and he made it through the rest of the deal just fine. Trip home and all.
Wow. Just dry.
Did he ever do it again?
He did. He went back and tried it a little bit, but he done lost his edge.
Yeah,
you know, he knew that ankle wouldn't hold up. I think his mom and daddy talked to him, said, "Look, you know,
you're gonna need that for longer than just a few years."
And that's when he went to work down at the dairy and down at Barber's. And
almost was.
Yep.
Was always taught, if you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough.
If you're gonna rodeo, you better be tough.
You know, we talked about, Mr. Mills got brought up in that story as well, the Hayden Rodeo.
Yeah. Which one?
We talked about it. It's hard to go back there now. When you go up there and look at that baseball field, it's gorgeous. Looks like you could play pro ball on it.
Could you imagine them letting you put on a rodeo?
Rodeo on that field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, boy, we're going to put a rodeo on this weekend on
Coach
the baseball
Drake
field.
Would lose his mind.
They'd lose their mind, wouldn't they?
Well, I've seen them put on a lot of places, but, you know, up there, matter of fact, one time over at Altoona, I think it was, back when I was riding, they had one set up on a baseball diamond. Well, they don't cut that baseball diamond. It's hard. Well, I got thrown off on this shoulder, and you know, finally, after about 30 or 40 years, I went and had the shoulder surgery.
Fix that.
Man.
Well, we got to telling about Michael O going on the bucking horse and going round and round that pin when he got stuck on the bucking horse. So we got to tell him. Yep, he got hung up.
I mean, stuff happens.
No doubt. Before we hit, I'm going to let you look at your list. Before we do that, if you've enjoyed the show so far, make sure you hit a like button and a subscribe. If you enjoy storytelling, both those options are free, and they're right there on the screen and helps us out a lot. So we'd appreciate you doing that.
So we had a particular science teacher that we all just love to just aggravate. It was one of those, it was just too easy sometimes. So particular crew, we, you know, had went catfishing and
caught a mess.
Caught a mess of fish, and we decided, well, I ain't gonna say we, because let's just say
the decision was made.
The decision was made of,
we gotta get rid of the guts, right?
No.
It was a whole fish.
So this was, I guess, well planned out, because we just might have left a window open, you know, just
the science lab.
In the science lab.
And so there was a Friday night.
There was a big curtain there that you couldn't see. Couldn't like see. Say, wasn't breaking an enter because all we did was open a window.
They did.
Yes, they. We never entered. The fish may have entered.
The fish entered.
We didn't. So.
And this was not cooler the winter.
No. This was long towards the end of the school year. There was quite the aroma come Monday morning.
Oh, and I remember that well.
And everybody going, what is that smell? And you could look, and in the morning sunlight, you could see a fin behind the shade. It was. I don't think it was the same day that it was found. And I say, for
a nice those
of us that may or may not have been involved, we quiet what, as a
was Miss Phillips, right?
There you go.
Did anybody
fess up? No. It never.
Nobody had a clue. Bud.
That's why I got the blame. I didn't even know it had happened.
You were actually innocent. Yeah.
I was innocent.
Wow. He was not involved in that, I do remember the tale going around, literally, the tale.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that is horrendous.
It was,
ain't nothing like a dead fish smell.
Melting into the windowsill.
Yeah, but. Well, that's like a good senior prank, right?
That's what that is.
That's right. Did you do a senior prank? I don't remember doing one.
I can't remember if we did.
Y'all did pranks all the time. Yeah. We didn't have to have a senior prank.
We did 8th grade prank. It was
continual prank.
And if y'all weren't pranking, we were.
That was... Like I say, and then they'd want to be hauling kids off to jail for doing things like that nowadays.
It was a totally different time and place, and that may date us a little bit, but it was just, we had a lot of fun.
All in good fun, Nobody got hurt other than a fish,
Well, it was going to get hurt anyway.
It probably got
gut hooked, maybe.
Yeah.
Mr. Mills, while he brought us to the school, if you've got a couple of those, I'd like to hear if you've got a... Some of those.
You remember any senior pranks that were pulled? You remember any of those? Didn't they paint painted the old field house one time or something?
That was before my time.
Oh.
I've heard that story, but that was before my time, and I better not go there.
Yeah, okay. Better not.
What they painted on there.
Oh, it was very ugly.
Well, it wasn't exactly the best.
They painted something high schoolers would think was funny, huh?
And every now and then, when the paint would start fading on, it was on the sunny side of the deal, on the west side there, and every now and then, the paint would go to fading, and it would come back out.
The image would
rear it really? It would come and rear its head.
Like I say, that was before I got there, but I know all about it, so... When we get through here, I'll tell y'all.
So funny.
The nickname kind of stuck through many years for sure.
Yep.
Man. Yeah. What else you got over there? We'll let Mr. Mills think for just a minute on that. You tell us another on your list there.
Oh, goodness. Let's see.
What is this? Today is...
This is 21 years.
Let's wish them a official
happy anniversary.
And back up. You probably don't watch this, but happy anniversary.
If you did, thank you for reminding me this morning. Let's just say
that's July 9th is yours.
That's correct.
Well, Sarah and I's is July 4th. How about that? Okay. So we just celebrated 16. Well,
I hope you remembered.
Is this I remembered. For you?
This will be 21. 21.
That's a long. I didn't know that.
Yep.
I was on the river actually with Covey, and I was like, "Oh, I better text Sarah."
Yeah.
So happy anniversary! But I did get her before she got me.
Really?
So, yes.
Well, good for you.
That was.
I'm surprised by that.
Did have a good excuse though. It's been one of those weeks. So
there you go.
At least got a pass. So, but we fixed going on a little vacation. So we'll do something. Over vacation.
If you'd like, Philip could make you a card. He does really well.
I do have anniversary cards.
Okay. Yeah.
May have to do that. Not for sale. I'm sure.
You've never told that.
Donations.
You've never told that on the podcast, funny, on the actual like aired podcast.
I've never told it on the aired podcast.
I don't think so.
Bethany told it.
Bethany did tell it.
I have never told the story.
I forgot about
it. It's
that.
One of the stories that we share on the storytellings that we do live, and I try not to spoil the
lives too much.
But it's one of my favorites.
Have you been looking for the perfect place to gather and host your next big event? Let me introduce you to River Hills Retreat right here in Hayden, Alabama. 70 scenic acres along the Locust Fork River, ideal for weddings, reunions, retreats, youth groups, and community events of all types. They also offer memberships for folks who like to walk or run the trails, as well as fish and access the river. Find them on Facebook at River Hills Retreat Venue or visit their website, riverhillsretreat.com, to see what all they offer.
You've got a new joke.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I do. There was a snail, and there's a turtle come by and stepped on him, and it just ticked him off. He's mad. So he called the sheriff. The sheriff said, "Mr. Snail, would you like to explain to me everything that happened?" He said, "I don't know, Sheriff. It all happened so fast."
Hard to remember.
All right, then.
Bless it. Where did you come across that one?
I think Covey may have said
old dad joke. The guy at work, he'll tell the stories or try to tell a joke, and then he can't remember half of it.
That's my problem.
That one just tickled me, though, when I heard old.
I never share a joke because they go in and they're gone.
that's, you know, and then you try to think of it, and your mind just blank.
Just doesn't go well.
I have one joke.
More than I got.
Really? This is your one.
This is it. It's the only joke that I can remember, period. I probably told it on the show because I've had this moment that I didn't have a joke and shared it. Here it is.
Here it is.
Horse walks into a bar. Bartender asks him, "Why the long face?"
Oh. That didn't... That didn't go well with you.
Do y'all understand the joke?
I thought you were going to go, horse walks into a bar, bartender goes, "Hey, man, why are you messing up my bar?"
That's worse. If you could make it a worse joke, you just did.
That's what you're doing. I mean, if a horse walks into the bar, it's going to mess something up, you know?
Maybe.
Fits it.
Yeah.
That's what I walked into. You play on the words.
Okay.
Come on. Come on.
It's great, Shane. It's really great. It's
a good try. All right. Well, we are losing rails. Followers as we said.
No, they can't, you can't look away.
They're hitting the button.
Yes.
They could not turn this off right now.
It may not be the like button.
Yeah, but it's the button.
Unsubscribe.
Where's the thumbs down button?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
One story about Coshocton, Ohio.
I don't know. I don't think you can.
I got one.
Are you sure?
Are you sure? Yes. Sweating over here.
No, I'm not sweating. No. I was, you know.
No. Now, this is you will enjoy this. Is on par.
Okay.
You will enjoy this. Okay. We leave Thursday afternoon after a full day's work.
No, we coon hunted at Hayden that night.
And then left. Okay, that's even...
What in the world?
That's even more impressive than what I was going to guess. Do the hunt, load the dogs up, load the truck up, and literally hit I-65 north, headed to Ohio for plot days up there. Big coon hunting festival, whatever. Mr. Mills here is one of the most faithful drivers that I've ever seen.
You put him in line.
Once that, was that 7.3? Once that 7.3 power stroke got in fifth gear.
When it hit fifth gear, she was on.
It was gone. So we're sleeping in the back, and he's just faithfully mile after mile. We get up there and pull into a Best Western. Get out, go check in, and we're kind of wiping the sleep out of our eyes.
Dazed and confused.
We go up to the room. Mr. Mills says, "I got to go downstairs for a minute. I'll be back."
Okay.
Okay. Well, we're wide awake. We've had a full night's sleep, you know. But where's Mr. Mills? He is not coming back. Like, what is going on? And we go down to the lobby. And I'm telling you, when I walked down the stairwell, I went, whew. Somebody done messed this lobby up. And he meets us right there on the corner, and he says, I'm just telling you, I'd go back upstairs.
Go back upstairs right now.
And I'm looking around, and the lady behind the register there, just checking people in, is just like,
she's spraying her down.
He destroyed the entire lobby.
Hey, if I had it to do over, it would have been in the room. Yeah,
exactly right. Hey, y'all go to the lobby.
We laughed and laughed and laughed. I don't know what.
He had consumed
maybe some high school lunch food or whatever, but it did not go well.
I feel you though. I mean, this time you just got to. Hey,
I'm going
to lobby. Having back to y'all's topic of the gas station pickup food.
Yeah. I'm telling. Well, while you're telling hotel stories, why don't you tell them about the time that I got accused?
No. Don't even say another word. I'm gonna tell that, and then we'll do the bracket.
Okay.
Or the write-in.
Okay.
Y'all never heard this. We go to get some stories from some fellas in Georgia at their house. We go over there and eat. They have us a nice dinner. We go in there and just tell stories and eat dinner. We're going just across the hill in Georgia to the next town to stay the night. We're going to come back and do the recording the next morning. No problem, right? Well, Shane and I both are horrible planners for anything.
But I particularly.
He's worse than I am.
Was he on time?
No. Is he breathing? Well, we walk out and get to the truck, and I said, where are we going to stay at? No problem. I'll get my phone out. Just drive. And I'll have us a hotel book by the time we get there. Okay. Well, I trust him. I mean, I do trust this man. We get there, and he says, pull into the Holiday Inn Express. I said, okay. We unload. We go in the lobby. We're tired. It's time to go to bed. It's late, 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Go up to the desk.
I had the room paid for.
We're here to check in. Oh, jeez. What's your name? I told him my name, and he, I don't have anybody by that name. I said, oh, it's under Shane then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't have anybody under that name. And I said, well, yeah. Then I start bristling up. Not ugly, but I'm.
Hey, buddy, we paid
for it. I watched him on his phone.
Yeah.
Reserve this room. You need mm-hmm. to recheck your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he looks a month out, and there's our name.
Wow.
then he says, since you booked it through
third party, you can't
get your money back.
A third party. I just sat down on the couch. Shane's going to the bathroom.
I'll be right back.
I'm sitting there on the couch. And looking at him, and he's like, what?
Yeah, where's our room?
I said, well, we'll have to wait till next month to get it. We go through this whole process of having to call that company.
The third party.
And we're just wanting to go to bed. But anyway, lo and behold, at the end of it, $30 to mm-hmm. get that canceled and redone on the right date. We got the room and went up. But the takeaway.
Make for certain.
No, well, that's your takeaway. My takeaway is Shane has never since booked a room. He doesn't get the rain on that anymore.
This was not even the story I wanted you to tell.
Oh, well, you tell your own story then.
No, you can tell it because you, well, you.
Now I'm nervous.
Yeah, you should be. We were in our prime.
Oh, Lord, we can't tell those stories.
Of course we can tell okay. this one. And we were with Drew 2000. Y'all.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how you're going to tell this story to be honest.
On this one.
Well, Philip and I had been down there in Gulf Shores, and we were
Best Western.
At the Best Western, and we were doing perfectly fine. Everything was A-OK. I had left to go, I don't know, get Taco Bell or something of those, and I left these two yahoos to their own devices.
Big mistake.
Huge mistake. I'm coming back with the food. I have the food. I'm just trying to enter the hotel. I look up to the second floor balcony. Who do I see staring back at me? These two yahoos. And they see me. And I'm like, shh, shh. And they're yelling down to me. I'm like, I got the food. They're getting louder and a little more rambunctious. And I'm like, I'm coming in. Hush. I've got the food. So I go in upstairs. I go give them their food. I sit back down. I lay back down in the bed and I hear, tuck, 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 tuck.
You're not telling all this story. What you just skipped led to this. And you're going to have to take some responsibility.
What did I skip, friend?
This was before.
Before Jesus.
Marriage and all these.
It was.
No relationship, right. Single. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, an entire softball team was staying on that floor.
They were.
And they really took to Mr. Shane here.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
He was a cutie pie.
Come on.
And
he could speak their language.
They're all kind of excited. I mean, this is the situation. A nightmare as an adult. If I'm in a nightmare as an adult, I am furious.
Yeah, in today's world, furious.
Back then, it didn't.
We were not furious.
They had opened up all their doors, and this is a end of the Best Western party.
Block party.
And they're just having a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Loud, and it's late.
Mm-hmm.
I have retired from this.
I have retired.
You finally retired. It came in the room and we're trying to, it's time to go to bed and call this a day. And now, carry forward.
Knock, knock, knock.
Uh-huh.
And we are quiet.
We're done.
In the bed, mm-hmm. Silent. And I get up, open the door, and I'm face to face with Gulf Shores Police Department. And I said, can I help you? He was like, we've got some complaints coming out of this room. And I was like, Ossifer, look, you're welcome to come in.
Yeah.
We're in the bed asleep.
Want some Taco Bell.
Yeah. But what do you want me to do? And he was like, no, if we get another complaint about this room, y'all are leaving. Well, guess what? They get another complaint.
Somehow.
But we were on our best behavior.
I think they were backlogged.
just now getting to the call. Yeah,
yeah. They must have been, because it was lights out for us. Well,
kicked out. Best Western Gulf Shores. Hit the road. And it's midnight.
It's midnight, and we're on the search for a new hotel. But we literally were on our... And I said, I don't know who's calling it in. I think the girls were just mad that we had went to bed.
Probably.
Since you went to bed.
Well,
that's the one and only time I have ever been...
Never been kicked out before or after. But we did find another... I don't even remember where we went.
We went down to the Pink Holiday Inn Express in Orange Beach.
That was it.
On Drew's credit card.
Yep. Drew 2000. Paid for it.
Sure did.
Yeah. At least you had a credit card.
Yeah.
Just real quick on perspective... Literally, I did not have the wherewithal or life experience to even see the problem with that.
No, it was perfectly okay. But
we were just having a good time.
At 43, I would have been irate. Irate.
I'm done with the Best Western at that point.
Party on the second floor.
You imagine those the people that were staying right up under?
Right below us.
That's a nightmare, for real. Okay, let's do this write-in story.
So what? Let's...
Oh, sorry.
Can we apologize to those
Let's
that may
make
have
a
been?
Full apology if you were there that night. This is 2002,
yeah,
ish.
2002 ish, and there was a block party happening above you
on spring break.
On spring break, and
I think that was spring break.
It was all the softball girls.
It was, yeah. It was their fault.
We want to apologize for those them. Softball girls. Yep. Anyway, yeah. So there it is.
There
official
it is.
Apology.
Mm-hmm. I feel better.
I do too. And we're going to talk about forgiveness here shortly. This is a write-in story from one of our Hayden Podcast family, Matthew.
Oh, you got a write-in.
From North Carolina. That's right. I even said that. I was about 19 or 20 years old when this happened. I don't care how educated or good-hearted a young man may be, every man seems to have a few years where his brain just don't work.
We were just talking about that.
That's right. Well, that was me at 20 is what he says. One evening, I was headed to the hunting stand and running a little late. I had just enough time to get home, grab a snack, throw my gun in the truck, and head to the woods. Well, I didn't want to miss a perfectly good evening hunt, so I got a little too heavy on the gas pedal. Apparently, I was the only one hunting that day. I was not the only one hunting that day because before long, I saw the bright blue lights of North Carolina State Trooper pulling in behind me.
Day's hunting.
Now, before I go any further, I need to give y'all just a little backstory. The week before this, some friends of mine had been taking a concealed carry class. All week long, they had been talking about the rules and regulations of carrying a firearm in public. One thing they said over and over stuck in my mind. If you ever get pulled over by a police officer, you have to tell them there's a legal firearm in the vehicle. So as I pulled over, I reminded myself, don't forget to tell them that you have a legal firearm in the vehicle. The trooper opened his door and had barely taken one step towards my truck when I leaned out the window and yelled at the top of my lungs, "Hey, officer, I have a gun."
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Not the correct procedure. Mm.
Trust me, y'all, you have never really lived until you have been ordered out of your truck at gunpoint by a North Carolina highway patrolman. About 60 seconds later, I'm outside my truck with my hands in the air, walking backwards to the sound of his voice and realizing I had just learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah.
It is important to do the right thing, but it is just as important to do the right thing in the right way. Perhaps next time I'll tell him about the gun with just a little calmer voice.
And a legal weapon inside the vehicle. Just say it professionally.
Yeah, that's how, I'm warning you, I've got a gun. Yeah. Now here's what bad things could be fixing to happen.
Yes.
Totally different perspective from there.
Well, I was always told that, you know, boys go brain dead from about the age of 12 to
35.
Yeah, maybe, 42, you know, yeah, 42. Give or take. You know, sometimes we wonder if it ever comes back. But you know,
I told an officer that one time that I had a gun, but I didn't say that way. I said, "Hey, I'm just letting you know I've got a pistol." And he looked at me and said, "You plan on using it?" I'm like, "No, not sir." Right, I'm just legitimately just telling you. He was like, "Well, if as long as you ain't planning on using it, then everything's fine." I said, "Well, we're good then."
I bet Dad's got some.
Dad probably got some
interesting stories on this situation.
It's always, you know, it's how you tell them.
Yeah.
Is how, I mean, if we get pulled over and we're nice and friendly and trying to get everything out, you know, you'd be amazed how much more you can get away with.
Yeah.
It goes a long way how you speak to somebody.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Quick story. Got time for a quick one?
Give us a quick one. We'll do the bracket.
So me and, you know, a couple of buddies, we got involved in, you know, the thermal stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we hunting a cattle farm over off of Mount Olive Road. Well, it's kind of up on, it's old strip mine. We're up on top and, you know, we've hunted, killed a coyote or two. We're walking back down. Well, we'd park right off the road. Well, lo and behold, we see headlights behind Nick's truck. So, you know, we kind of, you know, it's pitch black, you know, now we can see him. He can't see us, you know. So we're, you know, kind of walking down the road there towards the truck. And I guess he sees us, hears us walking, you know, he starts, you know, who, you know, y'all, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, spur of the moment thing, my buddy Cade, "Hey, buddy, you got a problem?" As we can see, he has a pistol in his hand from the truck headlights of his. And, you know, we're sitting there thinking, you know, this is a bad day for this guy. Because, I mean, we have, you know, AR strapped to us with thermal equipment and everything else, you know. So, you know, it's all in how you go about saying things. Mm-hmm. But just like I say, Cade, it caught him off guard. And is, you got a problem? So, long story, we get up there, talk to the guy. "Hey, it's a friend's property, just stopping to check the gate," you know, which he kind of went about it wrong too.
I'm going to pull my pistol before I even get any information.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's not like it, raggedy looking old truck or nothing sitting out there. I mean, Duramax, you know, nice truck. So it's not like, you know, anything sketchy looking going on, but
y'all didn't have your coyote hunter's tag on.
No, we didn't. Yeah, that was before we had the magnet. So we, you know, when we go, we try to throw the magnet back there just, you know, to give somebody, you know, a little heads up. But
a coyote hunter.
Have you hunted with him again?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's we
went in Rome.
Now that we've gotten too old, we don't really go as much as we used to because none of us want to stay up that late.
I sure don't. So, I'm starting to think about going to bed now.
Yeah, ain't no doubt. Man, we're not too far out from mine.
Well, let's do this bracket, and then we'll get to Mr. Mills' testimony. Last job you would apply for. We have 8 jobs here. We got 3 minutes. You got your phone?
Let me get you.
3 minute max. The bracket has to be finished in 3 minutes.
3 minutos.
We have septic pumper versus dozer operator.
At the landfill.
That's it. So round one, you've already started it?
Yep.
Okay. Which one's it going to be? Which one are you going to?
The last one that you're going to apply for. I'm not going to be a bulldozer.
And we're talking about this heat, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the dozer, no doubt.
I do not want to. Or you're going to drive the dozer?
I'd rather drive the dozer.
Got you. So not we're not doing the last.
Yeah. A septic pump is the one I'm not applying for.
I would be a pumper before I'm a bulldozer.
Oh, my goodness.
In the landfill.
We're at odds. Where are you
is
at?
Is it enclosed cab? Enclosed cab, I'm taking the dozer.
You're doing the dozer. That's worse than.
No, he's dry.
He's going to take the septic pump. Gotcha. Okay, so we're 2v1.
No, I'm taking the dozer if it's enclosed gas.
If it's enclosed. No, if it's enclosed.
You don't want to do a septic pump. I don't want to do a septic pump.
He don't want to do a septic pump.
I don't want to do a septic pump.
All right, so septic pump wins that round. In the other bracket, a sheetrocker versus attic insulator.
I don't want to be sheetrocker.
I don't want to be sheetrocker either.
Me neither.
And that's it. Yeah. Sheetrocker wins.
Man.
Paving roads or a concrete cutter?
This is a hard one for me because both of those are going to lead to a headache. Either one of them.
I'm going to say concrete cutter, least favorite for me.
I don't want to be a paver. I don't want to be no concrete paver.
I don't want to cut concrete. I can prop on a shovel.
Well, you got to pick one.
I'm retired.
Which one would be worse?
I think that concrete cutter would be worse.
Okay.
It would be pretty bad.
Last in a roofer or a steel mill worker?
I ain't going to be a roofer.
I ain't going to be a roofer either.
Roofer.
Roofer's the winner.
At least a steel mill worker can be on the ground.
All right, final four. Septic versus sheetrock.
I ain't going to be a sheetrocker.
I'd rather sheetrock.
Oh, ain't no way.
I'm going against septic.
Septic's the worst.
Yeah.
Septic's worse for me.
I think septic's worse for me too.
But listen, here's what you're not considering. Most of the time you're riding in that truck.
Yeah, but that few minutes that you, man. I mean, I guess there's ways to get around it, but
you don't stick your hand in it.
How much time we got left before I get close? Concrete worker versus roofer.
A minute. I'm not going to be a roofer.
We did that one already.
Yeah, it's a concrete down to the final
concrete
winner.
Cutter or a roofer. Y'all boys going? Y'all going to have a heat stroke and fall off the roof?
I'd rather. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Roof is worse. All right, so the final two is going to be a roofer or a septic tank pumper.
Golly, I'm not going to be a roofer.
I would go with roofer worst.
I'm going to pump septic tanks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to pump the tank.
I'm going to ride in Shane's truck.
Yeah, I'm going to pump the tanks before I would do roofer.
Here's what I would have. So roofer's the... Is the winner of the – is the last job you would apply for mm-hmm. is going to be roofer. Love you, roofers. I know we got some out there.
How about that?
I'm proud we got you.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, y'all keep roofing.
Y'all tough.
Tough job, no doubt. Mr. Mills, we're going to do testimony time. You had an event a little while back, and I'm here for it.
Okay. You know, we've talked a little bit about rodeo and all tonight, and – a lot of people think, well, cowboys, wild, crazy, this kind of stuff. Well, really and truly, anytime you're dealing with any kind of livestock, you better have God on your side. And last August, I guess it was, I've been judging rodeos for a long time, and it can be a dangerous job. And I've got my friends that are there and that kind of thing, people that I've known for years and years that are godly people, and I thank God for them. But I was at a rodeo in Gunnersville, Alabama last year, and everything was going smooth. And I had a ranch bronc horse, of all things. Ranch bronc's kind of a new deal, and they just run the craziest things they can under these kids getting on them because they're holding on with two hands and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not a true, you know, not an official rodeo event. Well, make a long story short, this horse comes out, and I'm watching him. I'm thinking the whole time that he's going to turn back into the bucking chutes. Well, about the time that I'd done waited too long to make my move, he sees me and beelines me. You know, he's not really bucking that hard. He's moving faster and kind of, he's not kicking that high, but he's moving fast. Well, a lot of the old veteran horses that's been around rodeo, they're not going to hit that fence. I mean, that fence is there just to kind of keep them contained. If they really hit it hard, it's going somewhere, but it's just panels that are mm-hmm. pinned together and that kind of thing. Well, I made my move over against the fence with my back to him, thinking that he's going to side pass me. Nah, he had already spied me. He freight trained me there, spun me around, and anyway, I know he knocked me out when he hit me because he hit me hard. They said it moved the panels back 3 or 4 feet, that kind of thing, and it spun me around. Well, his back foot, thank goodness, the good Lord was with me that day in that arena, because his back hoof came down right by my ear. And well, my buddy Mike Robertson, who's actually a minister, he was the other judge, and he says, I knew they was going to have to sew your ear back on, you know. But anyway, the horse, you know, hit me with that hoof right there. Well, if my lights weren't out before then, they were out then. Well, I woke up. I was already in the ambulance strapped down. They were fixing to life flight me out of there. And I woke up, one of the other guys was there with me holding me down because they said I'd started struggling a little bit and I was just trying to come to. Well, when I came to, I was coherent. I says, you know, let's hold off on that life flight just a little bit. I didn't
want to pay that bill.
I didn't want to pay that bill.
Yeah. Can I add a little bit of funny to that? All right. So I forget who it was that contacted me, and they was telling me everything that had happened. And when he was struggling, he couldn't breathe. So I can't remember if it was the bullfighter or who it was, but they was like, well, he had some Copenhagen in his mouth earlier. You might want to check his throat. Sure enough.
Mind it done got on him.
Obstruction. Of the airway. So, you know, and then.
But once he got that up.
Oh, yeah.
My breathing was fine.
Yeah, well, that was in the arena, and it was actually the stock contractor.
Whoever it was, I couldn't remember.
It was Brett that came over, I heard later, and told him that. But anyway.
Clear the mop mogging out.
Josh Krager, who's a former world champion bareback rider, he was in the ambulance with me. And he's the one that I woke up to, and I saw his face. I said, Johnny, just settle down. These folks are really going to take care of you. And, you know. They did, and I got to talking to them, and they realized that I was coherent enough. Mm-hmm. I said, let's just take the ambulance ride, and because I'm not critical at this point. I'm good shape. Well, they carried me to Huntsville, and I really think that my wife, Lynn, made it to the Huntsville Hospital before I got there. She was at the house.
Sounds about
and,
right.
I let Ford tell that story.
We got the call, and, you know, we're scrambling to, you know, find somebody to, you know, come watch the kids and what have you. And, you know, we get a hold of Lynn, and, you know, she says, well, I'm going to go ahead and leave. And, you know, while y'all are waiting for him to get there. So we couldn't have been more than 15 minutes or so behind her. So I call her when we hit the road. She's already in past Coleman, you know.
She's got it in the
getting
way.
Off 565.
Yeah. So she, you know, so we're talking with her, you know, back and forth. And, you know, by that time she said, hey, here's an odd number calling, you know, and then, you know, he had called her from the ambulance.
Yeah,
you know, so he was
called, the ambulance. The ambulance worker had says, "Do you want to call your wife?" Says, "Yeah, if you don't mind." Well, she had dialed a number for me on her phone and let me talk to her.
Because the last thing that we had heard was
they're fixing a life flight. When she gets that call, I mean, life flight deal. That's getting serious.
You know? They don't just put anybody on a helicopter.
Well, it was Liz that called me.
Elizabeth Adams.
And you know she's. You know, in panic mode.
And that's the first rodeo that I'd seen Elizabeth at, I mean, in probably 3 or 4 years. And she just happened to be there, and she had Ford's number, and, you know.
That's awesome.
Of course, Dusty Stewart was
and
there.
And out of the blue, I get a call from Dusty Stewart, and I'm like, that's odd. And I answer the phone, and I said, "You're in Gunnersville, aren't you?" So he's like, "Yeah." So, you know, he tells me everything that happened and what have you, and, you know, and –
Well, what about the rest of it? So you're here.
Well, I'm there. You know, they pull me in there and they do, and I'm, you know, pretty banged up, kind of, but you know, got a black eye and all that kind of stuff. But I'm coherent, and they did all the CAT scans and all that stuff. And the doctor comes in and says, "Well, you got to be the hardest headed sucker I've ever seen."
Mind you, we get to go back there, and I mean, the whole side of his head soaked in blood, you know, just dried, crusty mud, blood. And so,
where that hoof?
Well, that's just where the hoof hit me, but it didn't cut me. I didn't have to have any stitches.
It was what? A spot about yay long.
Yeah.
Just that.
You know how when you cut your ear or something, how much it bleeds?
That was it.
But my ear wasn't even cut, it was right behind my ear, and it was, you know.
No concussion.
No, well, I think they probably. You know,
but no brain,
no brains, nothing. You know, they said, "You've got to," but I get to thinking about it. I thought, man, if that horse's hoof had been over about 2 inches, this could have really been
or dead.
Yeah. Lights out. I mean, I saw the video.
Was he kicking? I'm trying to figure out.
Spun me around, came over the top of me, and hit me with a back foot.
Back foot. Whenever that horse went to steps,
so you got all his weight.
But it was. Nothing by the grace of God. It was just a glancing blow.
Yeah. That's all it was, grace of God.
It was glancing blow.
You know, I'll show you a video here in a little bit. I'll have to find it.
But I think I actually deleted it. You know.
I'm proud that you're here.
Well, I'm proud to be here. And like I say, just by the grace of God that I'm here.
Walked out. I mean, I
was back home in my bed by 2 o'clock.
Well, Flynn was driving 30 minutes late.
Yeah,
30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I made her stop and get me a hamburger.
I'm hungry. All this ruckus has gave me an appetite. I'm thankful.
It can happen to anybody around livestock.
Yep.
And you don't know, it's just like we were talking earlier. If God looks out for us and things can happen, and they can happen so quick, you don't have any control over it. God's in control of all of it.
That's the peace.
That's the peace.
Amen.
You just got to accept Him and accept His peace.
Amen to that.
Don't know how people do it without it. I really don't, fellas.
It's a lot to think about.
I don't want to do it.
Well, we're going to turn to Philemon. And talk about I don't know if that was last episode. They all run together at some point. But the last time we talked about Philemon was talking about forgiveness. And this time we're going to talk about our part in restoring relationships, Christian relationships. I'm going to start there in verse 12, and I'm going to stop short of the end and not do the conclusion to the letter. Whom I have sent thou, therefore, to receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me. He's talking about Onesimus, Philemon's servant, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. That's going to be important. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. So he he brings this up, that this once worthless servant who had escaped illegally, who was subject to be crucified. He could have been crucified for leaving like he did. And he's saying he's been saved now. He has proven to be a fine minister. He is a follower of Christ. But even though I'd like to keep him, I'm going to send him back to you because that's where he needs to be. And I want you to receive him, not just as a servant, but I want you to receive him for what he is in Christ, a fellow brother in Jesus Christ. And as we know, when you're wronged, well, that pride and all those things, boy, it gets tough to ask for forgiveness. But what I love is Paul's heart here to take the time to write this letter and say, you know what? If he owes you anything, I'll pay it. That's doing the best that he can do to help restore this relationship. And that's admirable, something for me to aspire to really care that much about our brothers and sisters in Christ and their unity and reconciliation, that he was willing to become part of it, endure some of the burden, be willing to pay so that it can be restored again. And I think, again, this is just a lesson that I take from this, is I think Paul saw the impact that this restored relationship would have on the community.
Yeah.
Knowing Philemon had every right to have that guy executed for what he'd done, but he didn't. He showed him grace and he showed him mercy. And that's a picture of the gospel. That's what Christ has shown to us, is grace, mercy, was willing to reconcile us back to God by getting involved and giving his life so that we could be reconciled to God through faith in him. And I think this is just, Paul was like, man, this is huge. This could be a huge picture of the gospel right here for everybody to see. And I think that probably motivated him a little bit. I don't know. That's just my thought, because if Philemon did what Paul begged him to do, it would have been a beautiful picture for people to see. Man. So, but also, I'm not pretending this is easy. And it's like, oh yeah, we're just going to forgive and reconcile with everybody who's wronged us. That's not easy to do, but it's something I think that allows Christ to be seen through us if we can pray through and seek God through those situations.
Amen.
If you think about it, you know, things that we've done in our lives.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, God saw fit to grant us grace and mercy. Lord knows he sure has me, you know, over the years. And, you know.
So. I'm a product of his grace and mercy. And Mr. Mills, we could sit here and testify on the other side for the rest of the evening of all the things that I did against the kingdom. But God has been graceful and merciful to forgive me of those things. And I'm thankful. Well, fellas, it's been a lot of fun. I'm glad you're here.
Always is. Yeah.
And we appreciate your time. And happy anniversary. Hey,
thank you.
And I'm glad you got your beard back.
That's right.
And
that was, you know, of all the things to be worried about, that was the biggest one for me.
Hey, you'd be proud. You worked hard on that. You know, it's the shape of it is amazing. You look like a Greek statue or something, man, with that beard. But that's going to do it. You got anything, brother?
No, I'm good.
All your hearts and mind clear?
Yeah.
Any more jokes?
No, I've only brought one. I'll bring one next week, though.
Don't ask me
about the joke. Well, we're going to conclude it before Shane has any jokes. That's going to do it this week. At the Hayden Outbound Podcast, I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Johnny.
I'm Ford.
We'll see you guys next week.